Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
Spring trading continues. One final day.
I want more enthusiasm. I want more enthusiasm. That's
spring trading continues.
There we go.
I'm not used to being on the air at 7 a.m. anymore.
I know. I love the morning. Are you kidding?
You're like
this
Yurko.
This is like my jam.
Yeah, you're like Yurko. Yurko wants to be done with... Well, I think Yurko wants to be done with work, period. But I think if he could have his choice, like by 9 a.m., he'd be done and on the golf course. Carmen DeFalco, Dion Miller, we're in for Cap and Hoodie. Nice to be with you, Dion.
Nice to be with you as well.
Good morning.
We've never done this.
I don't think we have, other than, I don't think so, have we?
Like some crosstalk here and there, but that's about it.
Crosstalk and stuff, that's probably about it.
Yeah.
So it is a true changeup. It is truly spring trading. Last day we're doing it for this year. Probably it'll be back next March. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as we all have. And the day today looks like this. We're in for Cap and Hoodie. We'll do their normal fun. Every Tuesday they talk to Albert Breer. We're going to do that. Owners meetings happening out in Arizona and lots of news coming out of there, including tons of Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren sound, which we're going to play for you this morning. We'll talk to Albert Breer at about 8:30, as always, 8:35. Greeny is on today, 10 to noon, and then it's going to be Abdallah and Connor in the Carmen and Yurko spot. Yurk and Waddle this afternoon, 2 to 6, and then Cap will be on late tonight. You talk about a switch.
Wow.
Cap has to wait until 6. It's Cap and Bleck tonight.
And then is he back in tomorrow morning?
Yeah, quick turnaround.
Wow.
For the Catman. Shay's here, Jay Moore's here. What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good morning, good morning.
I'm great, Carm. You know I'm great.
You're always great, Shay. Jay Moore's always great, too. He's always got a good attitude. He's always positive.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Love it.
Good
Love
to
it.
See you guys, and good to be with everybody. We got a lot of football to talk. I mean, I know it's baseball opening week, and we've got later in the week to kind of get after that. We're going to be out right after Cap and Hoodie on Thursday in Wrigleyville for Cubs opening day. The White Sox open on the road. We're going to be on the south side on Monday when they come back home to open the home portion against San Francisco. But starting at 7, starting this time just 2 days from now, Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark is the place to be. Cap and Hoodie will be there. And then Yurk and I will be on from 10 until 2. We got a full four-hour ride. But, man, it just feels like... NFL dominates and NFL's king, Dion.
Always,
and here we go again.
I know.
They really know how to, they've really found a way to
own
manipulate
the entire year.
This guy. I mean,
The entire year.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And it's exciting, though, because it's stuff to talk about. I mean, it's not, we're not just repeating the same things over and over again. It feels like they have news all the time.
They just know how to do it. You
they
know?
Do.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden the owners' meetings are happening, and oh, here's new, fresh Ryan Poulsen and Kevin Warren is talking.
The owners' meetings have come and gone for 60 years, and I've never thought about it.
Up until like the last five years.
I know.
It's like, oh, wait, the owners' meetings are happening.
I know. Like, that's appointment listening now.
Something major is going to come out of it. Brian Gutekunst is going to talk about Aaron Rodgers being a diva and how they don't want to deal with him anymore.
I love that just before the show, we were both like, wouldn't it be awesome if that whole Aaron Rodgers to the Jets thing fell apart?
It'd be the best.
It would bring such a smile to my face.
It's not going to have, like, there's eventually going to have to work something out.
But is anyone surprised that Rodgers didn't engage in talks with the Packers?
No.
No, not at all.
Do we have it? Shay, do you have that? We got to get that sound. We got to get
that.
It's
so great.
I mean, it. And I don't, who knows what's true? I don't know. Their versions of reality could be, like
I would.
They could be very different. Like, they're probably both a little bit to blame. Dealing with Rodgers seems like it's impossible.
Impossible. You will not win. Right. You can't win with him.
Just think about how hard it must be when you're as good as he still is and the team basically can't stand you anymore.
Right. Right.
Like, how hard must it be when you are as good at football as Aaron Rodgers is and the team finally got to a point where they said, we cannot deal with you any longer.
He's always been difficult. I feel like it, his chart always said difficult, right? Like forever.
Always.
Always. I mean, his own family.
His own family doesn't want anything to do with him.
His own family doesn't want anything to do with him. What does that say? And here, and I think shame on us, though, because we hang on everywhere. You and me specifically, but just the society, media and all. Yeah. We hang on every word he says.
Can't help it.
The start of free agency, NFL free agency, SportsCenter was basically Aaron Rodgers' watch. That's all it was. And that literally exhausted me.
I would love it if somehow it blew up in their face, but I don't think it will. Like, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. Like, they haven't come to terms with the Jets because they seem to be done with him. I mean, you know, like, once Mark Murphy came out a few weeks ago and said what he said, like, that's it, man.
It's over. Yeah.
You've washed your hands. Like, you've told the world, we don't want you anymore. We don't want this player anymore.
I don't think he can. Okay. I know we like kid about it blowing up, but at this point, he can't go back.
No.
He can't go back.
That's why I'm kind of surprised. Like, if I'm the Packers, I just want to be done with it. And Gutekunst even said, like, well, we're not here. I had the quote.
Okay.
What did he say? He goes, well, I'm trying to find it now in the stack of NFL stuff I have this morning. He said something to the effect, and it might have been in Breer's column or maybe been somewhere on SI.com. He basically was saying, no, we're not like married to the fact that we have to get a first rounder for him. Okay, if that's the case.
It's not like, necessary.
Get it done, man. Just be done with it already. It's time to move on. All right, if you want to join us this morning, 312-332-3776. That's the number. We do have a lot of polls and warrants on that we want to play for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think with Ryan Poles, you know, the big question and the stuff that reporters had a chance to talk to him about for the first time here is like getting into some of the nitty-gritty on what's going on with Jalen Carter, who I think was the object of the Bears' desire for a little while, and once they made the move all the way from 1 to 9, maybe not as much, maybe it took Carter out of play. I still not sure he gets past the Lions at 6 if the Lions stay there, even with all the character questions right now. I know I'd be a little bit scared of drafting Jalen Carter.
I would be too, and you don't know where he's at psychologically. I think that's the biggest where, you know, I mean, you have to wonder if it's worth the risk. Because and will he have a veteran in the room that can kind of guide him and mentor him? And you need someone like that for a young guy who's gone through what he's gone through just in the last 5, 6, 7 weeks.
That's key.
You have to know where he's at mentally. He can play. We know that. But where's he at that he's put on weight that fast that he's like, what's his coping mechanism?
I don't
feel like that's healthy. And that's a risk. I feel like what we know of Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, they would not be willing to take.
There are a lot of red flags.
A lot of them. Let's not ignore them.
There were, you know, the thing that you always start to worry about is that, well, there were a lot of red flags on Warren Sapp, and how did that work out for Tampa? There were a lot of red flags on Randy Moss, and how'd that work out? Sylvie was just telling it again a couple weeks ago because all of this came up. The Bears had scheduled a meeting with Walter Payton to sit down with Randy Moss.
Wow.
And Randy Moss overslept. And the Bears crossed him off.
Right.
He's,
right.
You know, like essentially stood up Walter Payton.
Yeah.
Overslept.
No, absolutely.
Didn't make the meeting. And Mark Catley crossed him off the list. How'd that work out? Not so good.
Not so good. Right. Right.
Especially when he ends up in the division. And so that's always the fear with a player, like you said, can play. Like, we know Jalen Carter can play.
You don't want to rush to judgment. But at the same time, you know what did Matt Eberflus say? They made the most progress. Where did they win this season? With their culture.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to bring in someone that has questionable character?
And so for every Warren Sapp and Randy Moss, though, there are stories like, what happens if he gets arrested in July?
Right.
What happens if he comes to training camp out of shape? What happens when X, Y, and Z? And then and then it's real easy to say, told you.
Right.
All the red flags were there. I don't know. I'm glad it's a decision I don't have to make. Well, I'll be honest. I just get to nitpick it and criticize it.
I know.
One way or
how
another.
Would you feel if they call him at 9? If they draft him at 9th overall,
here's
how would
what
you
I'd
feel?
Say. If I did have to make the decision, if I were a general manager of an NFL team, if I were there at that pro day, I would have walked away saying to myself, he's a no.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
I thought that was a horrible look.
It
all
was.
Things considered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it'd be a no. And if I were wrong, I'd be wrong. And maybe it would cost me my job someday if I were a GM of a team. But I think I'd rather be wrong.
Well, here's
you know, I think I'd rather err on the side of caution.
Right.
That's what I would say.
No, okay. But the Bears' needs are so great. They are so great. Beyond, and there are quality players that will be available that will make a difference at 9 that aren't named Jalen Carter, right? He's not, it's not like they're one defensive lineman away from winning consistently. So I feel like what they need far outweighs that desire to say, okay, we need this specific player.
But it is like the thing they need probably more than anything right now.
Right.
A disruptive pass rusher, an interior guy, like a truly disruptive three technique that would be the basis of any type of defense that Matt Eberflus runs. It's like, and he might be the best player in the draft. He probably is. He's probably like on talent the best player in the draft. And if he fell to you at 9, what do you do?
But how do you assess his mental state? That's the number one.
I think going from 1 to 9 takes them out of it. I don't think he's getting past Detroit, to be honest,
really?
Which might suck because he ends up in the division. And if it turns out to be great, you'd be like, but yeah, but you've got it. Look, the Bears did the deal they did. I think it was a good deal. I think it was fair. So they might have totally taken themselves out of it. Here was Ryan Poles talking about players with character issues. And this was his sort of assessment as he sits down and talks to his team and the people above him now, or in the pecking order in the organization, primarily Kevin Warren and George McCaskey. Here's Ryan Poles yesterday.
It's always, it's part of my philosophy too. Any guys that have a little bit more high risk, I sit down, like last year I did it with Ted and George. I'll do the same this upcoming year with Kevin and George, and we'll sit down and I'll talk about the history and things that we've learned and do we think it's worth it or not. But I do want my owner and president to sign off and be on the same page.
He also hinted that the Bears are still in a position where they're a younger team with a lot of impressionable people still, and you've got to be careful. He was sort of hinting at that. You know, if you've got a real veteran locker room, maybe you're not as worried about it if you're in a position to draft Jalen Carter. If you've got as much talent as they've accumulated in Detroit, I can't believe we're saying that, but they've accumulated a fair amount of talent.
Yeah.
If you have as much talent as they've already accumulated, including their two defensive linemen that they picked in the draft last year that both looked like they're going to be studs, like maybe it's not as much of an issue. Maybe, you know, you can afford to, I say reach, but like maybe you can, maybe that risk isn't as great because you've got more talent, you've got a little bit more of a veteran group, and maybe you feel like there are other people that you can lean on to make sure that Jalen Carter segues.
Yes. I mean, that is you know? I think, the key. If you're going to bring someone in, you need those voices around him that can help mold him and shape him. The Bears do have a young locker
room. They do.
And I think that's why last year's losing as much as they did didn't impact them as much as you would think, right? The vibe in the locker room was not that of a team that lost 14 games, 10 in a row. Like, that was not how it felt going in there.
Which is weird.
It is weird. And I think that youth had a lot to do with that. Mm. Like, they didn't know what they didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's excitement now with new people. I mean, I don't know that they made a huge upgrade across the board, but it definitely, there's more talent there. And new brings in new energy.
There's
but
more
they're
talent.
Also young.
There's more talent in the offensive huddle. I think that's good, but there's a huge gap to still close.
Yes.
Huge.
A lot of it was change.
Yeah.
Not necessarily upgrade.
Yeah. You need so much on both your lines still.
Know.
Here's Poles on evaluating players in the draft.
It's a big puzzle. Each prospect is a big puzzle. You usually take it all the way back to high school, how they were recruited, how they handle that. And now you kind of play it through their career, and you know, sometimes there's red flags that pop up, and you got to sit down and have discussions with different part of your organizations to say, does this guy fit what we're trying to do? You look at the risk, you got to balance that. And again, for us, especially being so young, we want to make sure we're keeping a good culture and maintain this as we go. So when we get back here, we'll put it all on the table and figure that out.
It's a hard job. I'm sure these guys all wish they could just put on the tape and look at that and be done with it and say, yes, we know one way or another. But it's a lot more complicated than that. We'll continue to play some Ryan Poles song. We also got Kevin Warren talking about the future of the organization, the stadium deal. I think that is most important whenever Kevin Warren speaks at this point. We'll play some of that sound. And we got Bears calls. So if you want to jump in, the Jalen Carter thing, we've got another month of this, folks. Like, yeah. We're going to still kick this around and talk about it. The draft's about a month away. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Dion. We're in for Cap and Hoodie as spring trading continues on ESPN Chicago.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and Dion in for Cap and Hoodie. We're on till 10, then Greeny takes over. Dalla and Connor, noon to 2 today. Waddle and the Good Kid, that'll be fun this afternoon. As Sylvie's off all week, actually, and then Peggy will be back in with Waddle. And then Cap and Black tonight, 6 to 8. Your partner yesterday, I mean, she's killing me over. Since when is 25% not a good tip?
That's a great tip.
Thank you.
What is
she's giving me a hard time for only tipping the Uber driver 25% on Friday night.
That's fantastic.
She called me a cheap bastard. I was like, Peggy.
She did?
I mean, yes. Yes.
Peggy Marie.
Exactly.
That was inappropriate.
Yes. Thank you very
inappropriate.
Much.
I've made up her Peggy middle name and I'm sticking with it.
Peggy.
I've made it up and I'm not
say,
even changing
it. You don't even know if that's really her
it's
middle
not.
Name.
No, she confirmed it's not, but I keep saying it.
Like David
that's
Emmanuel
awesome.
Kaplan.
Like David Emmanuel Kaplan. That is absolutely fantastic. I love it. Yeah, so God only knows tomorrow when we crosstalk with Peggy and Waddle what she's going to attack.
That is an attack. That is a mean attack.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, my problem is I get out of the Uber and I totally forget about tipping.
You can, I
forget.
Purposely, and this all came up because we were joking about, I was out way too late Friday night after the anniversary show with Shay and all these young guys. I can't keep up with them. I somehow made it pretty late. But the minute I got out of the Uber,
and
at this point I'm like stumbling into my house, like gotta tip the Uber driver. Open up the app, and I didn't want to like futz around with a custom tip, which I normally do. I'm like 25%
done. Yeah, done.
25%, and it was like $14 was the tip. You know, I'm like 25%, 5 stars, done. And she's like, "Oh, you didn't tip enough. Please."
What? By wow.
And then I got defensive, probably a little bit more than I should have. But that's like, you know, and when it comes to tipping.
You don't want to get in the Uber and have like a bad review on yours.
Well, and that's
right?
What I said. Well, now, Miss Peggy Marie, let
you're
us go.
Own that too,
let
right?
us go to the app and compare our ratings. And now I'm going to brag a little bit. I am a 4.97.
Very nice.
On Uber.
I don't want to check. I don't want to check because I'm not a bad tipper. I love to tip, but I forget.
Don't forget.
I forget.
Open up that app right when you're getting out.
Let me apologize now to all those Uber drivers. I've like left stuff in the car and they've brought it back to me and I still sometimes forget.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know.
You can't forget that.
I'm so embarrassed.
Open that app. Open it the minute you get out.
Can I go back now and tip a bunch of people?
I think you can actually.
I kind of want to.
I think like
I got to raise that rating. I don't even want to look. I'm like that embarrassed.
No, you should look at the rating. I'm a 4.92.
Attaboy, Shay.
Carmen and I are pristine. We're in good company.
Woo!
I'm really pleasant to talk to. Doesn't that mean anything?
Of course it does. I think that all factors
in. I'm a good conversationalist.
That factors in.
I don't complain.
That's good.
I'm kind.
I've seen Dion strut around the United Center, and everybody's enamored with her presence.
Everybody.
I have to imagine.
That is not true.
No, I have to imagine the Uber drivers are like, the great Dion Miller. It's fine. She didn't tip. 5 stars.
Yeah.
No way.
I bet you it's higher than a 4.8. I would bet money.
Oh,
it's higher
I bet it
than 4.8.
I need to check. How do I check?
It's in there. It's
it
you
is?
Go.
Okay.
Yeah, you go into your account and you could find out. And you know, it's a good resource because you know maybe you can learn that there are things you should be doing better in the Uber to raise your rating.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Well, full disclosure, I'm more of a Lyft person.
Okay, well, I'm sure you could get. I'm sure there's a rating system in there too. Okay. I use Uber, but whatever you're using.
one's enamored with my presence, Shay. But thank you.
I don't know. I think Shay's right. I don't know about that.
People are. I don't know.
I want to play some Kevin Warren song. We just played some polls. We'll grab these Bears calls in a minute. Hold on, but just a few things from Kevin Warren. He still isn't even officially the team president. That won't happen until April 17th. So we got a couple of weeks still as he transitions out of the Big Ten into the Bears role. But he talked yesterday at the owners' meetings about finally closing on the property at Arlington.
Well, I'm really looking forward to go to work. I mean, fortunately, I've been through this process before. I think at my press conference, that's what we talked about. That was a big part to be able to close on the land. That was a big step. That remains our main focus from a stadium development situation. There is a lot of work to be done. I mean, basically, when you close on land, that's really when the work begins. And so I'm looking forward to April 17th and still just been trying to transition, gather information, and stay up to speed. But I'll really dive in once I start.
Yeah, and they're just getting into it. Now's when the work begins. He's not wrong about that. Here's the timeline for Arlington, according to Kevin Warren.
I think I learned so many things with the U.S. Bank Stadium, and probably one of the main things I've learned is to be just be as nimble as you possibly can, and don't set any dates. And so I know once I get started and actually start having formal meetings, not only internally but externally, I'll know more. And at that point in time, I think we'll have a really kind of formalized plan ahead. But the biggest thing, as I said in my press conference, was to make sure that we close on the land, which happened.
He did go on a hint. Maybe we'll play this at some point. I want to play another bite just about how, you know, the Bears are sort of the center of the football universe right now. But he did sort of hint in a soundbite after the one you just heard that once shovels are in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's in there, but I want to. Should I play that one, Shay? All right, I'll play it then. If Shay says, and then I'll play this one about the Bears being in the center of the football universe. So here, listen to Kevin Warren. He kind of expands on what he was just saying, talking about once they finally get everything set, and they're still a long way from that, in terms of now we can begin construction. He gives you kind of the timeline once the shovels go in the ground.
The plan I always say is that from the time that you put a shovel in the ground, it's about 36 months if you stay on target. But the key is when you put the shovel in the ground, because now you have to get all the legislation done, work through all the political elements, design, the stadium, make sure it comes to life. So that's really where the timetable, becomes. And so the key for me, as I have always tried to pride my life on, is to be really thorough, thoughtful, regimented, diligent, and just methodical. And so I know there's a lot of information they've prepared for me to start reading. And that's the thing that I love about this opportunity, is to be able to go back to the books and to learn and grow. But it's an excellent site. As I said, I've walked it, and it feels right. But now is really where the work begins. But we're going to have to pull together at multiple levels to make this become a reality.
So if you stay on schedule 3 years from when shovels go in the ground, and we're what, a couple years from? I mean, how long is it, like 5 years all in, or is that what we're talking about?
I'm willing to bet he gets that stadium built before the construction on the Kennedy is done.
You might be right about that. That's the best bet right now. What would Vegas set those odds at right now? What's done first? The construction?
I believe the Bears will have a new stadium before that happens.
Yeah, I mean, the Kennedy, they're saying 3 years. That's 5 years.
That's not true. Guys, we got to work on this. It almost made me late.
Is it a nightmare already?
It's already a nightmare. Fellow Chicagoans, please get over when it says that the lane is going to end. Like, that's not a trick. It really is
going to end.
Like, actually get over.
I am so glad I don't have to take the Kennedy.
Oh, it's brutal. Anyway, no. It took them
7 years to finish the circle.
I don't want to talk about it.
That was supposed to be, I think, three. It took seven.
I'm telling you, the Bears will have a stadium before
that. You might
be
right about that.
I believe that's true. I love hearing Kevin Warren talk with such confidence. Like, it's not a question of if, but when. And I love that. It's before he got here, I felt like it was, will this actually come to fruition? I mean, he was here for about a minute and a half, and it was like, we closed on the land, let's go.
I know.
I love it.
The guy's got, like, some serious chops.
Yes.
And, like, some serious gravitas in this world, right?
He owns the room.
In that NFL realm, like sports guru realm, like, yeah, he's got some serious chops.
Now, I have not met him in person yet because I was on the, where was I, spring training when they introduced him?
That might have been, yeah.
I can't remember, yeah, but I wasn't able to be there. But all I can imagine is that when he walks in the room, everybody's like, well, I don't know who that is, but he knows what he's doing.
Like, that's what I mean. Yeah, he's just, he's got that gravitas.
How long have we waited for the Bears to have someone who walked in a room and knew what they were doing?
Forever.
Right?
Now, can he actually, like, fix what has really ailed the Bears all these years? Can he, because there have been presidents, I guess Ted's been, you know, the sole guy in that role. But think about, like, the different people that they've had in all these principal roles, and nobody's been able to really unlock no one's been able to fix what the ultimate problem has been.
Right.
And that's been ownership on down. So, you know, can Kevin Warren, like, is he finally the guy that can fix all these problems? And, you know, the Bears haven't been to the playoffs in back-to-back years since 2005 and 2006.
Right.
They've had one winning season in the last 10 years. Winning season in the last 10 years.
And then they fired the coach. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no. Nagy deserved to be fired. Lovey, even Lovey's last season was not a playoff season, but at least a winning season.
At least a winning season. Fired him. Yeah, yes. And they fired him, yeah.
So now if you go back to 13 was the first year.
Oh, you're right. I'm losing. I don't know how far along things were.
We're a full decade since Lovey's been gone.
Wow.
Yeah, full decade plus now. Gorman's in Mount Greenwood on the southwest side. Holy What's up, holy. Gorman?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carm. Good morning, Deanne. Nice to hear you guys on the show this morning. So I got a two-pronged comment I want to make. The first one is about Aaron Rodgers. You know, I was a big fan of Matt Ryan and Nick Foles when they brought them over to Indianapolis. I think Matt Ryan was a real professional and a gentleman. And I lost money to my brother-in-law. I thought they were going to win the division. Didn't work out. And I think the Jets, if they wind up getting Rodgers, they're going to live to regret it, you know, given his age. And I just think Rodgers is a crybaby Northern California hippie. And, you know, I'm older, so I'm not a fan of Rodgers, obviously, and I'd like to see him get his head stoved in up there in New York if that's where he goes. And my second comment, the Bears seem to be all in Justin Fields, so I think they need to go in the direction to try and keep him upright. So the O-line, to me, is where they should concentrate. So I'll let you guys chew on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Yes, thanks, Gorman. Are they all in on Justin Fields? They are for now. For, like, the next 7 months.
But they, yeah.
Then we'll see.
I was going to say, yeah, for the next, exactly. Well, they've set themselves up to, they have a safety plan.
Yes, they do.
So that lends me to believe they're not all in on Justin Fields, just for the moment.
Like you said, there's a little bit of a net.
Yeah. Yeah. I want him to be the guy. I really do.
I don't want them to have to be in this position a year from now searching for a quarterback again.
No. Please, no.
But they have secured a net underneath all of this, which is kind of a beautiful thing.
It is. That's well done. That's well played out.
Yes.
I mean, and that sets them up, I believe, for a positive. Because let's say Justin is this year, takes that step, right? And they finally have receivers for him, and he has the talent around him, and he looks more like the guy. Well, then you still set yourself up to add more talent through the draft. That's where this team is going to get better. Not signing free agents that basically just replace the same stats that just left, right? Like, that's where they're going to be a better team, is through the draft. So they've set themselves up to do that, whether Justin is good or not. I just want him to be the one.
I do, too. I want it to finally, like, be over. I want the wait to be over.
Yes.
We've waited our whole lives.
I don't want to just be excited about really impressive runs on the field. I want to be excited about victories.
Coming up, I want to play Kevin Warren talking about the Bears being at the center of the football universe, and Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, talks about what the offseason was like in trying, and I say trying, to deal with Aaron Rodgers, because it sounds like Aaron Rodgers was sort of non-communicative with the Packers. Big shock.
Shocker.
Your phone calls are welcome at 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Dion. We're in for cap and hoodie. Spring training, the final time here this March. We'll be right back.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Typing away. It's time for headlines. 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 Cap and Hoodie, it's Carmen and Dion Miller in for the guys today as we continue spring trading. Hoodie's actually off this week. Cap's going to be on. Hoodie's off today and tomorrow. Cap's going to be on late tonight with Chris Black, 6 to 8. You don't want to miss that. So Ryan Poles met the media in Arizona, reiterated his belief in Justin Fields, something that we were just talking about. He said, quote, "I think having Fields in the building and seeing the progress he made in his first year, getting familiar with our system, their special and athletic traits we've seen in college, his ability to use his arm too. I believe when it all comes together, we can have something special." Deanna and I were just talking about that. We hope that's the case.
Yes.
But they have protected themselves a little bit.
They've done well with that. So we'll see. We'll see.
They don't have to decide until the end of the year. That's when they have to pick up the fifth-year option. They've got another year to evaluate. They're starting to eliminate some of the sort of excuses. You've got a number one wide receiver now. They're going to really have to still go to work on that offensive line, which makes me believe O-lineman is priority number one in this draft.
I would think so.
Right?
I would think so. But I will be honest that last year I thought the same thing. Ryan Poles is an O-lineman. That's how he views success in the NFL, right, is from that vantage point.
Yeah.
I would have bet money that he was going O-line right out of the gate, and that is not what happened.
That's why it's a good thing we don't bet money on things like that. I would think O-line, but then who knows? They also need a pass rusher.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Are we going to cliche it and say best player available?
And that's the other thing. I don't know. Like, do they really do that? What if the best player on their board when they're picking is Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's a wide receiver?
Right.
You're going to tell me you're going to take a wide receiver ninth overall? Probably not. I think they did that last year, though, with the two defensive backs.
Yes, I did.
It seems like they followed that.
I just feel like best player available has to also take into account what is our greatest need. Doesn't it?
I don't know, man. I don't know how these guys do it, what really happens
Wouldn't
in that
room. Wouldn't you love
room.
To be there?
Yes.
I would love to see that
I'd love to see it happen live.
Yeah, same.
I would love it. I've heard about it for years. It'd be amazing to actually be in there.
Yes.
It would be very, very cool. And what are you really prioritizing?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they say best player. I think he sort of followed that belief last year when he drafted two defensive backs. Mm-hmm. How much are they going to regret passing on George Pickens? Not once, but twice. Right. I hope they don't regret it too much. Part of me wonders if they don't already regret it a little. They've taken two swings now to try to fix the problems at wide receiver, and you could have drafted one that looks like he's going to be a superstar last year. You chose not to. Fine. If Gordon and Briscoe are awesome, fine. Now you've traded draft capital twice to try to fix passing on George Pickens twice in the second round last year.
I feel like you're still mad.
It's not that I'm mad, but like when you... Like, this is how you're evaluated.
I understand.
And the Claypool thing has been a disaster. Let's face it.
Oh, agreed. I like Chase Claypool, but
I do too.
He's not delivered in any capacity. And there, speaking of no excuses, I don't want to hear any more excuses.
No.
You've been waiting for this opportunity to be the 1A or whatever.
Yes.
Do it. Show us on the field. I hope this offseason has been spent with, like, reevaluating that. Like his commitment to what him and Justin working together, whatever. Because by the end of the season, who were his top targets? It was like Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney. Like these are guys he worked with all summer, like all off season. So do that now with Claypool and build that relationship.
I hope so.
Same with DJ Moore.
Couple other headlines from last night. Bulls lost. I fell asleep in the third quarter. They lost to the Clippers last night.
I fell asleep before they even started.
The Bulls had a good start to the game. They were down like 7 at the half, and then I fell asleep in the third quarter.
I'm taking the family to the game tomorrow night.
Lakers tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
LeBron. I'm very excited.
He's back. Alex Caruso, the foot injury continues to bother him, and so he's still a no-go. But, yeah, and then what else, Shay? Anything else
Nico Horner here
that's important? Nico Horner signed.
Yes.
Basically tacked on 2 years after this arbitration year. So you got a couple of extra years of control at about $15 million each after this year for
Good
Nico
for him.
Horner. Oh, and then Connor McDavid with point number 140 last night, ladies and gentlemen. 140. We haven't seen a player with this many points since Lemieux had, I think, like 161 in 1996.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that?
That's outrageous.
It's pretty good stuff. All right, here is that Kevin Warren soundbite that I was promising you. This is Warren talking about the Bears being at the center of the football universe still.
Yes. I mean, I you know, it's interesting, and I feel coming back to the NFL, and even so many people that I've seen said, welcome back home. And I feel that this is home. But I also feel, you know, it's interesting how even coming here for the meetings, it's something special with the Chicago Bears. I mean, this is not a normal environment of a team that won three football games last year that you would think most of the times that happens, you're in turmoil. But George is calm. Ryan is calm. Coach Eberflus is calm. I'm calm. We're all connected and working together. And I think there's a sense around the NFL community that we have the right people at the right time, in the right situation, focus on the right issues, and none of us have egos, and that we're doing the right thing. So I really love the energy that we have developed and building, and I'm confident that we're gonna do well together.
I hope everybody's calm 3 years from now.
Say, George is always calm, isn't he?
That's true.
Like, yeah. But here's what I will say. I have said for many years that the NFL is always better when the Bears are relevant. Like, it's the league wants them to be sure. relevant, right?
Well, all the good and teams so, are. Or right. All the historically the popular teams.
Yes. Yeah. And they are such a popular brand around the world.
They are.
And if they win consistently, something that we haven't seen in
forever.
I don't know that I've ever seen it.
I'll give you the stat again. Since 2013, the Bears have one winning season. The last 10 years, the Bears are 64-100. That is a 390
That's
winning percentage.
So embarrassing.
Do you want to try to
That's
name the only team?
A lot of losing.
Yeah.
A lot of losing.
There's only five teams that have a worse winning percentage over the last decade in the NFL than the Bears. Five. Washington, a laughingstock.
Right. A laughingstock.
The Giants. The Jets, both trending upwards. Hopefully the Bears are too. The Browns, another laughingstock.
Yeah.
And the Jags. Those are the only five teams in the last decade to have
wow.
a worse winning percentage than the Chicago Bears.
Jeez.
So, yeah, there's a lot of work to do.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
And they've got the assets now.
Yeah, they do.
So go ahead and do it. Joey G is on ESPN 1000. What up, Joey?
Hey, Joey.
Good morning, Carm. Deanne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I want to go to the Jalen Carter fiasco. I was a big fan, Carm, about him coming to the Bears, but now I don't know. I don't want him. I don't want any kind of cancer around Justin Fields. I want a clean rock locker room for this kid. He's going to pass for 3,500 yards this year and run for 1,000.
All right. That's a lot of yards.
Write it down now.
I'd like the 4,000-yard passing season and maybe a few less rushing yards. I would take that. Joey G, thanks. I mean, I think, again, polls did sort of hint that they've got still a young, impressionable locker room. It is something that has to be taken into consideration.
It does. Absolutely. You know that these are conversations. And, again, Matt Eberflus, you know his personality. What we know of his personality, I don't think he would want that around his team. He's very much into that. Yeah.
You have to be careful. This is where the draft is hard. It's stuff like this with Jalen Carter, a kid who is so talented, who might never get in trouble ever again.
Right.
And be on the straight and narrow and do everything that's expected of a professional athlete and be great.
But Carm,
that is one way this could go.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Ryan Poles was saying, right? Like, how did his college recruitment go? What were some issues that, if he had issues, were they there in high school? And, I mean, even before this incident happened, there were questions about Jalen Carter's character. Before this.
And, yes.
And he was asked about it. Are you a good teammate? He was asked about all those things. So it's not like this is, it doesn't feel like this is just an, this is, of course, like a horrific moment. But at the same time, like, are there other red flags that maybe aren't being talked about, but that were there?
And then you could just as easily say, hey, the kid played hurt. You got to give him credit for that. He played through an injury basically all season. You know, probably saw some tail off in his performance because of it, but still played.
Still played, yeah.
Won a national championship and said, I'm still going to play and try to win another. And then did.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to give him, I guess, some credit for that. But, like, this is where the draft gets hard, because can you afford to miss on a player that's potentially as good? But what happens if you do draft him and something happens and all those red flags were staring you in the face?
Right.
This is where it is
really hard. Then you drafted him in the top 10.
Yeah. Yes.
Where you need someone who's going to make an immediate impact in a positive way on the field. Does he love football? I think that's also a question that needs to be answered. Does he love football?
Think about all the Bears' misses recently here. This will be the fifth time in the last 9 drafts that they draft in the top 10. Think about all the misses. Think about Kevin White, Mitch, Leonard Floyd. I mean, he's gone on and he's been fine for L.A., but, like, you know, you never made your second contract here. You got to view that as a miss. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot in just over 10 minutes. We'll go around the NFL at about 8:20. Albert Breer at 8:35 from SI, his weekly hit on the Cap and Jay Hood show. It is spring training. Carmen and Dion in for the guys. We'll be right back.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and Dion in for Cap and Hoodie. Spring Trading rolls along. Last time we're doing it here in 2023. We do it every March. Been a fun 4 Tuesdays.
I like it. It's good. Fun. It's different. Peggy and I were not involved, really, until today.
That's
good. We have not worked together. So
I like the change up. It's always nice.
Too.
It keeps everybody on their toes.
It does. It's fun.
Brian Gutekunst was talking yesterday at the owners' meetings on the ongoing saga between their organization and Aaron Rodgers. And we want to play a little bit of this because, you know, Rodgers, when was that? Like 2 weeks ago when he went on McAfee and talked about his intentions to play for the Jets. And
why do you have to say it like that?
They're mean to me in Green Bay and they don't want me. And I tried, but they don't want to talk to me.
No one feels bad for you, Aaron Rodgers. Exactly no one.
I love giving him a hard time. He's so damn good. It's the only thing we have over Aaron Rodgers. Like, we just make fun of him, you know, because he's so damn good. And he's tormented and tortured us for so long. Here was Gutekunst talking about Aaron Rodgers saying that he tried to shop him behind his back. Listen to the GM's response.
You know, as we got out of the offseason or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then, you know, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to, I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested. But the shopping was never really part of that.
So shopping was never part of it, according to the GM. And he said, we tried to reach out to him and we couldn't.
Was that when he was in his dark room?
I guess, but he was in the dark room. Wasn't he in the dark room for like 8 hours after all that?
I don't know. It was like,
didn't he bail after like 8 hours or something?
It's such a weird.
How long was he in there, Jay Moore?
He did 2 days.
Oh, he did do 2 days?
How long was he going to be in there?
How long was he supposed to be in there?
4 days.
You can half. Come on. Come on, Aaron.
Quitter.
Half-ass in it. Quitter.
Can't believe that.
Yeah, 2 days, actually. It's not so bad. I wouldn't do any days. No, I think it's insane.
Correct. As Peggy and I said, I just want like 4 days at the spa. Like, I don't need to go into a dark place.
Yeah, but really. I'm going to go somewhere for 2 days. Like, you know.
I don't. It's
going
just
into a dark room underneath the ground.
It's such a weird flex he has that, like, that's the one thing I can't stand about him is he walks around like, I'm so much better than you because I do these weird things.
He does, doesn't he?
Oh, it's disgusting.
But then the dark room also had pretty modern amenities with lights. Like, what is the point?
He just wanted to get away. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my gosh. It's
unbelievable,
so ridiculous.
Man. It is.
It's so many shades of ridiculous.
Here was Gutekunst talking about last year giving Aaron Rodgers the contract extension.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches, and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we kind of had to make some, you know, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
That he wants to go play for the Jets. We'll talk about it with Albert Breer coming up in like 35-40 minutes. We'll see what he thinks about when this whole saga will end.
Yes. Hopefully soon. I'm just done hearing about it.
But I'm glad that the Packers will be picked to finish last in the division once he's finally gone. Yeah, I think they will. I think they will be.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
I think they will be.
Wow. When is that ever? When's the last time that happened?
Where the Bears were picked to, where the Packers were picked to finish last in the division. I can't even begin to think when the last time that
would have been. When, I mean.
I don't know.
Right. I don't either. I don't know.
Bears have been chasing them for so long. I bet you some pundits are still going to pick the Bears regardless to finish last.
Yeah.
Coming off a 3-win campaign. But the odds, and we looked, I should look at this, see if they're updated right now. Yurko and I were looking like maybe 10 days ago.
It's still
Green Bay.
Bears third. Yeah.
Yeah, still Bears third. The Vegas odds anyway.
Really?
Still have the Bears finishing third. Yeah. Lions are obviously going to be the favorite.
Yeah.
Vikings are going to be. My guess is this is exactly how. Nothing's going to change here, especially once Rodgers is officially out of there. Mm-hmm. And I don't see. There's no way he can go back. Lions are going to be the favorite.
Yeah.
Vikings will be second. Vegas had the Bears third and Green Bay fourth. Again, like pundits might still pick the Bears to finish last, but I don't know, man. It could. For the first time in a long time, we could be looking at the Packers as the last
gap
place.
Gap is closing Bears-Vikings, too.
Is it really?
It was. Really? I think it was Vikings plus 310, Bears plus 350. It's Vikings plus 310, Bears plus 320 now. It's only 10-cent difference.
Yeah, not so bad, huh?
Well,
people believe in. You know, that's because the Bears have generated a lot of interest this offseason.
Yes.
People have talked about them a lot, and that sometimes affects how the handle goes. So.
But they've had to because they are relevant.
A lot of people think the Bears have won the offseason at this point. I'm not so sure about that. I think what they got in terms of going from 1-9 was great, and I think they fixed some things, but there's a long way to go. 312-332-3776 is the number. We got shot or no shot coming up. You've done that.
It always makes me nervous.
Love shot or no
I
shot.
I feel like I'm going to do it wrong.
No, there's no doing it right or wrong. Really,
I know, but
as long as you say shot or no shot, you've done it correctly.
I don't think I always do that.
Just go with it. Plus Albert Breer from the owners' meetings at 8:35. We're back in just a couple of minutes.